so happy to hear all these great things happening. I'll try to be brief today, but I do have to tell you a story about Champion Youth. And if I were, and I am a parent still of a teenager, one teenager, but he's 18 now, and so he's not really involved in the youth ministry other than serving in the youth ministry when he's back from college. But they were going to have a Champion Youth Leaders meeting last month or 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they were going to have it at JD's house where he lives. And I told him, why don't you have it at our house and just have it, whatever food you need, cover, whatever, take the house and just encourage all those young people that are serving in the Champion Youth Ministry. So we went out and got something to eat and came back and kind of snuck through the house because we didn't want to interrupt what was happening there. And I started all of a sudden hearing the singing. I mean, by this time they had been meeting had gone like 2 hours with the youth leaders in my family room, in a family room at my house. And I heard the singing, so I kind of went out under the staircase and started recording it because it was so beautiful. All these kids that were youth leaders were worshiping at the end. Usually we worship at the beginning. They were worshiping at the end after talking through so many things. And it was so beautiful. And I heard all these voices. I heard a song I've never heard before. I have to find it for you one day. I know, I promise I'm going to show you some of the things I've taken videos of or pictures of. But it was just a beautiful sound. And I was honored to hear it, and I was grateful. And I thought, wow, any parent that puts their kids in Champion Youth, whether it's the camp, of course camp, and also every Tuesday when they meet and gather, I really want to encourage you, the leaders of Champion Youth are truly champion people. And getting your kids around them, these are not people that are serving God because they have to. These are adults, young adults, who are serving God because it's their privilege, it's their honor, because everything they do flows out of this spirit of worship and the spirit of gratitude. And so all I can say is, after that happened, it got so loud in the house, and they started playing some games. Now this was like on a Monday night. Not only are they singing, 2 hours later, they're shouting, they're playing games, they're laughing, they're loud. We thought the police were coming over because there's like a 10 o'clock curfew in our town. And if you're too noisy and loud after 10, the police come. And I thought, I hope they come. And I hope they see the hope of the future, young leaders that know how to honor God and take care of others. I was so impressed by that, I had to come here and tell you, get your kids to Champion Youth. Amen. Get your kids, get your neighbor's kids to Champion Youth. Get your grandkids to Champion Youth. Have another kid and put them in Champion Youth. Look with me to Psalm 85, verse 6. Psalm 85, verse 6, David says, will you not revive us again? Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, and that word for mercy is your unfailing love. Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. And I will listen to what God the Lord says. I will hear and I will listen to what the Lord God speaks. For he will speak peace to his people. He promises peace to his servants. Let them not turn back to folly. Listen to what is happening here in this passage of Scripture, gang. First, the question is asked, God, will you not revive us again? God, by the way, answers with a resounding, yes, I will. Will you not revive us again? And what will happen when he revives us? He says that your people may rejoice in you. In other words, when God revives us, the first evidence is going to be joy. The first evidence is not going to be judgment. It's going to be joy. A lot of people think revival means that God is pouring out this awareness of everybody's sin so that they'll be sorry for their sins. That's not what revival is. Revival is a coming back to life. Something that was living coming back to life. And he says, will you not revive us again? And what will happen when he revives us again? He says, your people will rejoice in you. You know, people are trying to find joy in so many other things. But the only place we're going to find real joy in our lives is in him. In him we're going to find joy. In revival, we're going to find joy. In God's Spirit moving amongst us, we're going to find joy. In us gathering together, we're going to find joy. In us praying together, we're going to find joy. In us baptizing people, we're going to find joy. In us worshiping God, we're going to find joy. Amen. When you're revived, when God pours out revival or pours it within us, because there is a river of living water inside of every one of us. Jesus said in John chapter 7, he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the Holy Spirit. You see, revival is not about our flesh. It's about the Holy Spirit letting a river of the Spirit of God, living waters, run through us. In John chapter 7, verse 37, he said, rivers of living water shall flow out of you, and that is the Holy Spirit. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And out of his belly, verse 38 of John chapter 7 says, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, out of his heart, out of his innermost being. I love that translation. Out of your innermost being, what's going to flow? Rivers of living water. Boy, if we could get a hold of this. Will you not revive us again? Let's turn this into a prayer. Just lift your hands right where you are and just say, Heavenly Father, revive us again. Revive me again. Revive my family again. Revive our church again. That we may rejoice in you. That I may rejoice in you. Amen. And then he says, show us your unfailing love. I think if you give that to us in the New American Standard or one of the other translations, he says, show us your unfailing love. So what revival does is it brings us supernatural joy and it brings us unquenchable love. Unfailing love. Unfailing love. Love that will not fail. And then what will happen? God will grant us salvation, all your family members. Come on, let's pray this. Heavenly Father, I'm asking from this revival to bring all my family, all my family members, all my relatives into the kingdom of God, and those that are already saved, revive them too. While you're reviving me, revive them too. Grant salvation to all my family members. I receive it as a promise from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Get ready. Get ready. The word revive here means to restore to life, to restore abundance, to restore joy. That's what this word is literally translated as. To restore to life, to restore abundance, to restore joy. It means to have life, to continue life, to sustain life, to restore to life, to cause life to grow. So we've dedicated these next several weeks as a church to come together every Sunday. Bring your friends, bring your family members, bring a person, bring somebody, take one of these Revive All cards and bring someone with you. When you stop to pay for your coffee and you used to just be quiet, maybe just say to the person, thank you for serving and thank you for making this for me. And I just thought I'd invite you to my church. It's just a special time we're having where we're experiencing a renewal of God's love. And I'd love to have you experience that with me. That's one way you could invite people. Or if you're shy, just take one of these cards and just say, you know, I'm not really an outspoken person. I'm kind of shy and quiet. But my church made this little card that talks about Jesus. It's so easy to just give this to someone. Listen, this is not our tool to invite. It's just a supplemental way. The tool to invite people is to be kind. The tool to invite people is to be loving. The Bible says, when we love one another, it says, all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. So being kind, being loving, having a life group, being a part of a life group or starting a life group and inviting your neighbors, it's not to try to invite church members to your life group as much as it's to invite neighbors and people to your life group that would not otherwise come to church, but they'd come over to your house for a cup of coffee and a little meet and greet to meet some other people that are on a journey with God. Boy, if you just see your life that way, like, God, use me. That's what, when we know when revival happens, we have joy, we have love, we have salvation, and we want to be used by God. Many of us got saved during times when there was a great evangelistic thrust in the body of Christ or in the earth. Back in the 80s when I got saved, some of you got saved in the 70s, some of you got saved in the last few years, in the last few months, and God is doing something new in the earth, and he's doing it through us. Every time you pray, you're bringing God's kingdom in earth as it is in heaven. Every time you give, you're bringing God's kingdom in earth as it is in heaven. Every time you speak life, you're bringing God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Every time you serve and get involved and invite somebody and have people over or have something at a coffee shop and just invite people to study the Bible with you. I'm finding and hearing about these young people at Champion Youth and Hype and even the kids and kids ministry. They're actually having Bible studies with each other outside of church. They're having Bible studies. They're reading the Bible and they're talking about it and they're experiencing it and they're enjoying it. I don't know, but when I was a teenager, that wasn't what I was reading. Come on, who's with me? The only papers I was involved with were rolling papers. And some of you don't even know what that means, and that's all right. You probably weren't supposed to know what that means. God is going to revive all of us. God's going to revive all those that are fainting, all those who are weary, all those who are sleeping, all those who are dying, all those who are dead, all those in your family that are not saved. God's going to revive your body and your health. He's going to revive your finances, and you're going to succeed. He's going to revive your purpose. I told you guys that Easter represents the resurrection of Jesus, but it's just the first. Jesus' resurrection is just the first of many resurrections and many revivals that God is going to do in your life and in our lives together. So we got to come together for this. Don't stay at home. If you're watching, Gary told me, tell the people that are watching that live in the area, get to church. Get to church early. If you got lazy, you got lazy after COVID, you just got into a rut, and you broke the habit of gathering, we all stopped gathering, right? But now we're gathering again. Come home. Come home to church. Come from your home and come home to church and get connected and be involved and come early. And if you're trying to come early and you're running late, come anyway. Don't be condemned, but start making a habit of getting here early. You know, honestly, I used to stay in the green room during praise and worship. Back years ago, I just would stay there because I thought I'm only anointed if I'm, you know, spend time in the green room when everyone's worshiping. And how silly I was to think that. And it shows how far we come. I'm here before any of you. I'm actually here at the 9 o'clock service worshiping. Even though the doors are closed, I get in here and the team is worshiping, and I get here and I'm ready to worship, and I'm worshiping God at our live service, in-person service. I'm here by the time worship starts every time because there's an anointing and there's a revival. All of our team members on Life Changers Worship, they're humble. None of them are trying to find a gig. None of them are trying to be famous. None of them are trying to be stars. They're all here to worship Jesus. And so they got me revived. They got me revived to love worshiping again a few years ago when they revolutionized. Nothing bad about the people that tried to lead us in the past. We're grateful for each and every one of them in leading our worship. But we had to rebuild the worship because God's a rebuilder, and sometimes we build it the wrong way. And so we had to rebuild it on love and on humility and on team and on Jesus alone. And our leaders in worship started telling people, if you want to be on the team, grab a cord and grab a wire and carry it around wherever we tell you we need a cord. Oh no, I want to be on the stage. Sorry, if you can't be behind the stage, you're not ready to be on the stage. If you can't serve with no glory, you'll never be able to serve with glory. Then people would say, well, I'll be a part of the team, but you got to pay me. So we fired all the people that had to be paid. And what I'm describing to you is revival. When things get real. And when people want to get involved because they're grateful, not because they're great. They're grateful. They're thankful. There's a revival of gratitude happening in my life, a revival of humility. Because you know what? I've been proud at times. We all have been. The devil was our father on earth until we got born again and God became our father. But the devil is the epitome or the embodiment of pride. And if we will come together over these next few weeks with humility, with gratitude, there's going to be such a breakthrough of healings and miracles and salvations and blessings and transformations in our souls. Weariness is going to be overtaken with gratitude and joy. Feeling like giving up is going to be overtaken with the joy of the Lord being our strength. The weak are going to become strong. The Bible tells us, and David told us in Psalm 86, when you revive us, let's make sure we listen. Go back to that passage. He said, make sure to listen. We're going to listen when God revives us. And there's more love, and there's more joy now, and there's more peace. It says in verse 8, I will listen to what the Lord God says. Our part of this is to come and listen. And if you will come and listen, you're going to hear prophetic words. You're going to hear God speak to you. You're going to see God move in your life. You're going to find breakthroughs that you never thought would happen. Family members that you thought didn't even believe in God are going to come running, and they're going to start outrunning you, and you're going to have to keep up with the people that you were trying to pull along and bring along, and they didn't want to come. All of a sudden, they're going to pass you up, and it's going to inspire you. It's not going to make you jealous. It's not going to make you mad. It's going to inspire you and say, wow, I need to get going. I need to get going a little bit faster, a little bit further, go a little bit longer. And he says, when you hear the voice of God, do not turn back to your folly. Listen, revival comes, but then it doesn't leave us any different if we don't change what we're listening to. We got to stop listening to social media. There is a place for all of that. But we have to stop comparing ourselves and looking for affirmation and approval through social media and through any other media or through any other means at all. And we need to start listening to God, listening to his voice. Listen to what the Lord God will say. He's got promises. He has peace. He has power. And all we have to do is listen and not turn back. Do not turn back to our folly. What was our folly? What is our foolishness? When we're not listening to God, when we're listening to anybody else and not listening to God, that's foolishness. We're not turning back to listening to this world for our direction, to listening to this world for our correction, for listening to this world for our affection. We're getting all that from God and from the body of Christ. Jesus is the head of the church, and we are his body. And so whatever is happening in Jesus' life, it's flowing into our lives as well. Let's stand together. Well, I'm asking you to be open. I'm asking you to come early. I'm asking you for the next few weeks, let's get in here and let's get everything God has for us. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Get your family members here. Invite a friend. Invite a coworker. Invite an enemy. Love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. Not everybody's going to like us. But we don't need that for our approval, because we know God likes us and loves us and is smiling over us and is dancing over us. I have so much more to get into. I want to share it with you all. I want you to come ready to hear, ready to listen, ready to be revived, ready for love, ready for goodness, ready for kindness, ready for mercy, ready for running over goodness. Goodness is going to run over you, and mercy is going to wash over you. And let's expect more, more, and more love. Amen. Expect love, love, and more love. If you prayed with Pastor Grace earlier to be saved, come to the altar and let us know and let us hear from you. And if you need any other prayer, come to the altar. The altar is now open for you to receive whatever you need to receive. And we are officially dismissed for today. God bless you. Thanks for coming today. We love y'all. Amen. Woo! Go in joy. Go in peace. Amen.